Amen. Praise the Lord. Have you already praised the Lord? You have. Amen. We're sorry to be a little late, but so it looks like the smaller crowd now and only Bible school. Is this only Bible school now?
No, there's more.
A few more.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I was just hearing a few words of Brother Edmar. And a little verse came to me while I was sitting here. Jesus met the woman at the well. And he told her one of the most important things that he ever said. He said, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So you can think about that verse now for the rest of your life. How do I worship God? God is not impressed with the physical things that I do in my worship. But what it is that moves God is that we come to Him in spirit and in truth. So any attempt that I have to come to Him in flesh, it's just not going to work.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we do ask that Your presence would be among us today. We pray that we have gathered together in Your name, and that You are here in the midst of us today, O Lord. Hallelujah. So we left yesterday with the first verse of Revelation chapter 21. Amen. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Amen. Now the Greek word for heaven has a couple of meanings. It refers to the sky. It refers to where the stars are. The sun and the moon. But it also refers to a spiritual place. But spiritual place doesn't necessarily mean place in the same way as our thinking. So I will say it also refers to a spiritual realm. You know, we are operating on a low frequency realm. Where we live and conduct our lives, where we work and where we eat our food and where we sleep and where our children are born, and we tend to believe that this is the only realm that there is. But the Bible tells us that there is another realm. There's a realm of God who is a spirit, and that we must believe in this by faith even though we cannot see it. And if we are to be sons of God, we will labor for this realm that we cannot see. And yet, sometimes God gives us a little glimpse in the higher frequency. Only a little glimpse. Only a little visit sometimes. And usually this time of our getting a glimpse of this new heaven is during a time of some kind of crisis in our life. I had a visit to this spiritual realm, the spiritual frequency. It was about the time that the doctors thought that I was dying. And I went for several weeks that I had one foot in the realm of the natural, and I had another foot on the other side in the spiritual place. On the one hand, I was aware of the room and the people and my family. And on the other side, I was also aware and I was seeing things that I would never see in my natural. And it gave me a great desire to be over here. Almost a desire so that I could die and go over onto this other side. It wasn't because I saw beautiful green grass and blue skies and rainbows and mansions or anything like that. It was just the tasting of the presence of Jesus and the spiritual opening of my eyes that I could see things. It was so good, and I didn't want to, I wanted to go and be there. But by that time, the doctors had fixed me up so that I could not die. I remember I called the doctor one time after I was doing some work that I shouldn't have been doing. I said, "Doctor, I have pain." He said, "Don't worry, it is impossible for you to die now." So I had to change my thinking, and I had to say, it is not my time. I am going to live, and I am going to live and do all I can for the kingdom of God. So maybe you haven't tasted of that, but will you take my word that what is of this new heaven and new earth, it is very real. I one time, maybe 30 years ago, I did some teaching on this new heaven and new earth. And I remember I said that this heaven that is the true heaven, the new Jerusalem, it is not made out of the gold that your rings are made out of. There are no... And I said, you do not have a special house, a special palace, mansion with your name on it waiting for you. And when I finished, a woman came up to the podium like this. She came and she stood right here in front of me. She put her fist down on the... She said, "Brother Mark, you have destroyed my heaven." I said, "Why?" She said, "You said it is not real." I said, "Sister, that is not what I said. I said the new heaven is more real than your old idea of heaven." But she wanted her old heaven. She wanted what the Pentecostal church had taught her was the old heaven, streets of gold. Now you see, this verse that I saw, new heaven and new earth, this is what gives some Bible preachers to say that the old earth is going to be destroyed. The bombs are going to, just nuclear bombs. We're just going to be a pile of nuclear ash. And then they believe that God will then have to come like in Genesis and go across the earth and speak another word and make another earth and another. But brethren, I can find you 4, 5, 6, maybe 7 verses in the Bible that says the earth remaineth forever. Yes, devil would like to destroy it. Devil would like to blow off the nuclear bombs. He would like to destroy every human being on earth. But God will not allow it. Now, what God is going to do is the kingdom of God is going to completely remake the heavens and the earth. Because his spiritual kingdom is going to be supreme over all things. Amen. And it's interesting that the description of the new heaven and the new earth is that there is no more sea. No more sea. New heaven, new earth, no sea. Is that the way it says in your Bible?
Amen.
No sea? Now, you see, this has to be spiritual language. How can we have an earth with no water? Water makes up what? 80% of the earth? I don't know. Just a guess. Somebody probably knows exactly how much.
Three quarters? Three quarters.
Well, that's pretty close. 75%. Yeah. So, God is not talking about the natural water. What does he mean when he says the sea? Okay, find the verse that supports what you just said. Find the verse. How about it says here on in the 17th chapter of Revelation, in the first verse, it says that the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Is that in your Bible too?
Yeah.
The great whore. Now, okay, remember a harlot, a whore, a prostitute is also a woman. Which means it's a woman type of church. But it is an unfaithful church who gives herself to many, many men, many lovers. And she sells herself for any price that she can get. So this is a false religion that sits on many waters. Now look over here in verse 15, chapter 17. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. People, multitude, people, multitude, nations, tongues. In other words, it's unredeemed people. So you see the harlot, the church system, the Roman Catholic, and all of her daughters. All those people who are members of this church in particular, in particular the mother of harlots, she does not preach salvation by the blood of Jesus Christ. So all of these, what is there now? A billion people that are, more than a billion, that are under her control are unredeemed people. This morning when we came in, we saw some of her people carrying their God. And Rudy told you the name of the God in your tongue, right? the Santo Nino, the infant God child. See, this is false religion. Now, the new heaven and the new earth will have none of this. No more sea. Where is it? Is it in Jude? I think that gives another description of what is really happening right now. Is this not where it says the foaming waves of the sea? I was looking at it just the other day here.
13.
Oh, here we are. Yeah. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Okay. Are you getting any of the news that's happening in Iraq and in Israel and do you get any of that information here at the Bible school? Well, there's a new war starting up in Iraq now. The remnant of Al Qaeda or something has formed a new coalition, and they are trying to form a a new nation, a nation of Islam from Iraq and Syria together, whatever they can take over, and they've made another army now out of this. They call themselves ISIS. So this is more foaming waves of the sea. And you see, the sea is driven by winds. Winds of doctrines. Spirit winds that stir people up. Sometimes these winds stir up American people. Now some of the American people are down on the southern border and they're standing with their signs and they're stopping the buses that are bringing these illegal immigrants in and saying, "No more, no more." It's winds of spirits stirring people up. Okay, so back to Revelation chapter 21. New heaven and a new earth. Amen. It says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." New Jerusalem. Amen. Where else did you read about New Jerusalem in the New Testament? Where else is that term found? What book? Where are we going to find that term? I wonder if we could find it in Galatians. You think we could find it there? Let's look at Galatians. Let's look somewhere around chapter 4. Wait, I don't have Galatians. I have Ephesians. That's why I don't find it. Well, it doesn't exactly say New Jerusalem, but it says Jerusalem which is above. Okay. So, didn't we read this verse the other day? Chapter 4. Where are you going now? 4:25. Oh yes. For now, he's talking about Abraham having two sons. Okay. So if we're looking at sonship, you can be the son of Hagar or you can be the son of Sarah. Which church do you want to be? Which church do you want to come to fullness? Fullness, sonship means fullness. Church of Hagar is what? Bondage. Church of bondage. She's a bond woman. Church of Sarah, Church of Free Woman, is of the Church of Promise. And he talks about the two Jerusalems, 25. This Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and answers to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Okay, so then it goes on to say that the persecution is going to come from the church of bondage. So the old Jerusalem. All Jerusalem is bondage. And persecution. Okay. And if you look at the history of the church, and you really should read a lot about the history of the church while you're here at Bible school and even after you leave. You will find that the Roman Catholic Church has killed more saints than Hitler and Stalin and all of them put together. You go back in here in chapter 18. And it says in verse 24, it says, "And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth." So God has to destroy this, but he is also going to allow this unclean harlot system to come to its fullness. It says somewhere here, it says that she has a golden cup in her hand, and the cup is full of her wickedness. Yes. And this cup is coming to its fullness, and God is going to have it poured out. So she's going to have to drink of the judgment of God. When her time of judgment comes. Do you know that this Pope is coming to the Philippines? Did you hear that? I read it somewhere. I don't know when. Sometime in July, isn't it?
I think in August.
When?
It's in the first week of August.
August, okay. But you see, all this pomp and circumstance is going to come to an end. Amen? It's going to be destroyed. This worldwide dominion. And it says, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. So, can I... So, when we ask you about heaven, and you first answered and said, heaven is in me, and you were right, is there another heaven? Is there more? Yes. There is a higher heaven. I can't point to it, but except to say up, high. Higher spiritually than I am. And this higher realm of heaven is coming down to where I am. Coming down, and it's going to change this earth. And it's going to change the heaven realm that is down here where I am. Because you see, the heaven realm where I live, the devil is also in that heaven realm. Are you okay with that? If we have time, we'll go there too. Show you. But you see, the time is coming when the devil is going to be put out of that heaven realm as well. See, he got put out of that higher realm of heaven. God put him out. Out. He goes. But he came down because he's a spirit. He's a spirit being. So he comes down to a lower spirit realm where we live. And he tries to get into this heaven realm that is in your soul. And he wants to have influence in your soul. He wants you to listen to his ideas. Listen to his suggestions. And he has also gotten into the church realm of their spiritual heavens. He's gotten into not just the outer court church, but he's gotten into the holy place church. He's gotten into the kind of people that even we fellowship with. Well, Brother Mark, can you prove that? Yes, Jesus said, you will see the abomination of desolation in the holy place. Where he should not be. So he said, when you see these things happening, know that it is time for you to flee to the higher place, the higher spirit. So, yes, the devil is already beginning to deceive our brethren. And let us take heed that we be not deceived. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, back to Revelation 21. Holy City, New Jerusalem. coming down from God out of heaven. So yes, there is a higher heaven. I don't deny that. So what does this higher heaven look like? And when I die, is that where I'm going to go? Well, I hope so. But where will it be? Where will this be? Where is it going to be? Come on, the verse just told you. Where is it coming? This high spiritual heaven is coming down, and it's going to be down here on earth. In other words, it will be among men. And women, of course. So when I die and go to heaven, it sounds like heaven will be here. You wanted to live up there somewhere. You wanted a table in the clouds where you could eat chicken. But come now, listen, let's read more. It says that this heaven is prepared as what? A bride adorned for her husband. Now, what kind of church is this? It's a good church, isn't it? This is the bride of whom? Who's the husband? Jesus Christ. Amen. So he's marrying a bride. But it isn't just only one woman. Yes, it's only one bride. But this bride is made up of many, many pure and holy people. Brother, you're a man, aren't you? Brother, how would you like to be a bride? I'm a man, I'm not a woman. I want a bride, I cannot be a bride. You see, that's natural thinking. We cannot have natural thinking in these things. Sisters, are you a woman? Any women? Can you be a son?
Amen.
Can you be a mighty warrior?
Amen.
Yes. These are not gender words. So for me to be a bride of Christ, in the bride of Christ, it means that I am going to be completely united with Christ. We are going to be one.
Amen.
You say, well, Brother Mark, I already am one with Christ. But not to the extent that we are going to be. There are some times that I do things that is not appropriate to be one with Christ. But you see, he's going to come now in this new Jerusalem coming down. We are going to be made one with Christ in a permanent union with him. This is why God gives us the lesson of male and female, husband and wife. So that we can learn the process of what it will be like to be a bride of Christ. If we spend our natural time in marriage, fighting, quarreling, misusing one another, we are not learning anything about being the bride of Christ. And you might not be qualified to be in the bride of Christ if that's the way you're going to carry on your life in your own marriage. Now, I'm not going to give an answer, but I'm just going to say that there are some believers that believe that not every Christian is going to be in the bride of Christ. I'm not going to say much more about that. I'm just going to say that there are some who believe that. I do know that where it talks about the 10 virgins, that 5 of them did not make the marriage ceremony. And I wouldn't say that they were cast out of eternal life. I don't believe that. But I want to say that I fully and firmly believe that in heavenly realms there are different degrees. And Paul believed that too. He said, one star differeth from another in glory. So in your time of Christian life, you can listen to the doctrine that says, well, just live carelessly, live any way you like, you're under the blood, when it's all done, you'll still get into heaven. And I do believe on the day of judgment, if when we stand before the Lord and he sees the blood, you'll get in. But that doesn't mean you're all going to come in as sons of God. That doesn't mean you're going to come in as wise virgins. Amen. And I tell you, God has given you now an opportunity to come in the highest realm of his children.
Ngayon,
So if you go out of here and want to spend the next 30 or 40 years backsliding and living in some kind of sin, I am afraid for you. Okay, it says, and I... So we're talking about that this city is prepared as a bride. Which tells me that this city, spiritually, is the bride. And I heard a great voice out of heaven, verse 3, saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. That's verse 3. Amen. So here's that word tabernacle again. Tabernacle means what? Dwelling place. Okay. The tabernacle of Moses was for God a dwelling place. God said to Moses, I want you to build a tabernacle that I can dwell among the people. So it was a natural structure. The people could see it from their camps. Sometimes they saw the pillar and the cloud above the tabernacle. But they saw, this was something they could see with their eyes. But it was a spiritual picture of God's house. So all the things that you can learn about all these dimensions and all the meanings of this is all help you in the understanding of the purpose of God, His ministry, and how the Church of God should function. Now, man has decided that they don't like all these things and decided, well, we're going to make some changes. It's going to be easier to do it this way. Nevertheless, the pattern of God, he told Moses, be sure that you make everything exactly according to the pattern that I have given to you. Don't decide to make any changes. So tabernacle means a dwelling place. And God is saying there's coming a time when He is going to come suddenly to His temple. And before He comes to the world, He is going to come to His own people. thing that I said the other day is you are being given this opportunity to prepare yourself. Prepare your tabernacle for the coming of God who wants to tabernacle in and with us. Amen. And in his coming, he's going to make some changes. It says in verse 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Now, this is a description of new earth. He's not talking about new heaven. The pains and sorrows and tears that we have, they come to us because of this earth. And why do we have all this pain and sorrows and tears in this earth? Did God create this earth with sorrow and tears and pain and suffering? Is it God's fault that people kill one another and hurt one another?
No.
He gave it to us in a pure state. Our great fathers, mothers, he gave them the rules. He said, "Here's the rules. This will keep the earth pure." By the way, there was only one rule. There were not 10 commandments. He wouldn't have needed 10 commandments. All he needed was one. Don't eat that fruit. When you eat that fruit, I'm going to have to give you many commandments. Because eating that fruit is going to destroy your soul. It's going to open up the door for the devil. He's going to come in, he's going to be your boss, and you're going to be his slave. And so the devil has been trying to destroy us and to destroy this world ever since. So, new heaven and new earth, the heaven realm where Satan has been moving about the earth, the earth realm that has caused us so much sorrow, the earth realm that has brought terrible poverty to some of the places on this earth. People don't hardly have enough to eat. The sorrow where women give birth to their children in pain. It's coming to an end. Amen. And he said, verse 5, and he said, "He that sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, these words are true and faithful." And And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. So he's bringing to an end now the sorrow and the pain and the destruction part of earth. Now, he doesn't mean that I, God, am coming to an end. He said, I am bringing to an end this painful, sorrowful, cursed part of earth. And that means to me that he is the one who has put the curse, and he's the only one who can remove the curse from this earth. You know, have you discovered that you cannot remove the curse from this earth? You know, I remember long ago hearing the preaching of some of these faith fellows. By the way, they have fallen very badly. You know that Copeland has gone to visit the Pope, and he's telling evangelical Christians now that we are all one with the Catholic and the Pope. This is the church system that has fallen. Abomination, brethren. So anyway, I listened to the teaching, and I remember hearing them say, "Take authority over it." So I planted a garden. And the weeds grew, and I had to work very hard by the sweat of my brow to remove the weeds. And this fellow said, "Take authority over it. God has given you authority." So I went out in my garden, and I said, "Weeds, I take authority over you in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you." You know what happened? They kept growing. And I found out that God put the curse there, and I do not have the authority to remove it. Only the Word of God can remove it. You see, there's some things He didn't give us. He is God. Amen. Okay, so we're moving along. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. It's in verse 6, the last part of verse 6. I will give to him that is athirst of the water of life freely. Amen. So the water of life is what? Okay, and again, if you want to go to a place where there's bubbling fountains coming up and all that, and a river flowing, this water of life is what? It's the Word of God. It's flowing, pure. And you can have all the Word of God that you can possibly drink. How hungry are you for the Word of God? Now, if you get too full of the Word, and you don't understand anymore, and you say, I'm tired of hearing that, then the water will just flow over and it'll go somewhere else. But you can have all. You can have all you can possibly drink. You could open your mouth and the whole river could flow into you. But there's probably only so much you can take. You see, every man has a different capacity to drink. Let's get into a little more of a description now. Well, the next verse tells of those who will not come. Let me just make a list of not included. We'll do a different color here. Not included. Okay, give me the list. Give it to me in English if you can. Fearful? Okay, one, fearful. Let's stop for a minute with fearful. Is it okay to be fearful? How many of you have ever been fearful? God doesn't want fearful. Why? Because perfect love casts out fear. So if you're fearful, you must not have perfect love. Alright, after fearful is who? Unbelievers? Alright, what comes after that? Abominable? Wait, let's define abominable. What's that mean? We talked about the abomination of desolation coming into the holy place. What is, in the eyes of God, what is abominable? It's an abomination. In other words, it's something that God absolutely hates. Now, what? Give me Nicolaitanism. He said, I hate the Nicolaitans. So let's make some things that are abominable. All right, Nicolaitans. And Nicolaitans is the spirit of man ruling other men in the church, taking the place of God. It isn't just the Catholic Church where the Pope is the vicar of Christ. But where the pastor is the supreme boss and rules over the people, that's Nicolaitanism. All right, what else does God say is an abomination?
Balaam.
Can you give me the verse? Where? Give me the English word. I did.
Balaam.
All right, we'll put Balaam. And what was Balaam all about? What did Balaam do? He taught the children of Israel to commit fornication. So could we say that Balaam is the spirit of this world? Following the trends of this world? Following the music, following the dress styles? Hairstyles, piercing of bodies, tattoos. Come on, brethren, we can have nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Amen. I'll give you another one. It's in Leviticus. I don't know exactly, I forget what chapter and verse, but it says clearly in Leviticus, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination." Did you get the verse? Now this is the page that some of these people tear out of the Bible. And it doesn't matter, it's the same spirit, whether it's between two men, two women, it doesn't matter. It is an abomination in the eyes of God. And why is it an abomination? Because it is against the creation purpose of God, He made them male and female. And it pleases God when we come together in a mature marriage, man and woman relationship. Amen. And this flies deliberately in the face of God, thumbing their nose at God and saying, "We don't like the way your purpose was." And of course, it's driven by the devil. The devil is the one that puts this spirit in people. The lie from hell is that I was born this way. It is a lie from hell. You were no more born that way than you were born to be a murderer. You were born to be a thief. You were born to be an adulterer, a fornicator. You were born to be an idolater. No. You You were born in sin. And the blood of Jesus Christ has the power and ability to deliver you from every form of sin. And it has the power to forgive you of every form of sin. The mercy of God could forgive Hitler if he would cry out, but he didn't. He killed himself and threw himself directly into hell. Amen. All right. Abominable. What comes after abominable? Murderers. Amen. Four murderers. We know what that is. Number five.
Warmongers.
Let's see. W.
Yeah.
And that is male and female. It is sexual uncleanness. The devil has invented many, many means of sexual uncleanness. What else comes?
Sorcerers.
All right, just a minute now. Sorcerers. Now, let me see if my Bible... Whoremongers. Oh, sorcerers. Okay. Now, let me go back here to Revelation. It's going to be probably... Oh, here it is. Revelation 9. And this is the sixth trumpet. Okay. And it says that when the sixth trumpet sounds, that men are given plagues that are very painful to them. The third part of men are killed. But the rest of the men who are not killed, they do not repent of their works. It says, neither repented they of their murders, or sorceries, or fornication, or thefts. So it says they do not repent of their murder, their fornication, which is whoremongering, sorcery, or thieving, stealing. Now, if you have your concordance with you, you can look up the word sorceries. Here's a sister that's got a concordance. Look it up from Revelation 9, verse 21, the word sorceries. But I want the exact Greek word, not just their definition, but I want the Greek word for sorcery. Pharmakia. Pharmakia. Let me write it out here.
Pharmakia and pharmaco.
Pharmakia.
And the other one is dog.
And what else?
Just
one word. So the word that is translated now, what in your Sabano Bible, what word is used there for sorceries? Oh, magician.
Salamanquero. Salamanquero.
Salamanquero. Okay. It says magician, but the actual word in Greek is pharmakia. Now, what do you think is the actual direct first line meaning of the word pharmakia? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out.
Pharmacy.
What is a pharmacy?
Pharmacy is medicine.
Drugs. Drugstore. A pharmacy today is not a place where you go to find a magician. It's not a place where you go to look up the witch doctor. The sorcerer. What other terms can we use? Witch doctor, sorcerer, magician, black magic,
voodoo,
juju. Divination. Yeah. Palm reading. Crystal ball. Astrology. Horoscope. Okay. But the word is actually pharmakia. What is one of the biggest problems of the world of crime that we have today? Why are thieves stealing and robbing? Why do they want money? Because they are on drugs. Now, that doesn't mean you go to the doctor, you get some penicillin, you've got an infection, that doesn't mean what the doctor gives you to cure your disease. What it means is the drugs that are being misused. And it says here, even in this plague, that men are continuing to murder, they're killing for drugs, it's involved in their sex life, and they're robbing. And it is a horrible spirit, and it says men, no matter what kind of plagues, they will continue to do this. But the Bible says that these men and women who are involved in this kind of business, by the way, the prostitutes on the streets of the big cities of New York and other places, the prostitutes are doing this because most of them are on drugs. This whole network, is a bondage that Satan has put on people, and you know, it is so strong, they can't get free of this thing. These rock stars, These big famous, big money rock stars. These television and movie stars. Many of the big sports stars, basketball, football, soccer, they are hooked on these drugs. One kind or another. They are heavily involved in fornication. That one big sportsman publicly bragged that he'd had 1,000 women. And women give themselves. They come out of their back door of their stage, and the women are out there. These will not be found in the New Jerusalem. No place. No place. All right. After the sorcerers was what? Idolaters. Idolaters are not just the people that are carrying that statue down the street. You need another hour on idolatry. Number 8. Liars. Liars. Who are some of the most accomplished liars in the world? Satan, of course, is the prince. But among the people, the politicians. How can you tell when a politician is lying? When his mouth is moving. That's right. That's lying. Amen. And it says, they shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And now in the next verse, it says, he carried me away in the spirit to a high mountain, and he showed me the great city, holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. So here it is again, the New Jerusalem, the bride. Descending. Okay. So now the next few verses, I probably won't read them all. I'll just talk about them so you don't. Amen. And it says that she had the glory of God and the light. So that means that you, as a member of the bride, will have the glory of God and the light of God on you. You will shine. shine with a spiritual brightness. You'll be clean and pure. You'll be holy. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now here's where we get into the difficulty of natural description and spiritual description. Now this city, it says here very clearly, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Amen. What do you think, fellas? Is it a picture of us? It says she's got a big wall. I don't look like that. It says it has a big wall and 12 gates. Twelve angels at the gates. Names of 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 on the west, 3 on the north, 3 on the south. What is this city here? Well, I'm not a very good architect here, am I? There, a little better. Okay. Now I can't see the whole thing, the other sides, but three gates here. Wait a minute. See, I'm doing it wrong again. They've got to go like this, don't they? And here. There. Now, if I were to make a natural picture, that would be what the picture that I would make. And in verse 16 it says the city is 4 square. That means it's as big this way as it is this way. See, now I didn't make that 4 square, did I? I'd have to make it bigger. What does that mean, that the city is 4 square? Oh, it's the Church of the 4 Square. We'll give that our name. We'll make the name the Church of the 4 Square.
Because we have web here.
I know there is a church. But it has a good meaning. 4 square. It means you're well balanced. You're in perfect proportion. You don't have any doctrines that go way off this way or way off that way. You're in perfect balance. Amen? Well balanced. balanced. And it says, the city lieth foursquare, the length as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height. So, right here we're 12,000, and here we're 12,000, and here we're 12,000. Furlongs. What is 12? 12 is what? The number of what? Divine order of government. Right? So if this is perfectly balanced in all aspects of divine order of government, would she be fit to rule and reign with Christ? I would say she would. She'd be a fitting wife of Christ, wouldn't she? In other words, Christ is going to marry somebody of his own kind. He's not going to be marrying a woman that's involved in these things. All right, now, the problem with this, and we'll quit here in just a minute. The problem of taking this in the natural and saying that this is heaven. That this is a city made up of these stones and jaspers and gold and... Yeah, down in verse 21, the 12 gates were 12 pearls, every several gate was a pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Now, the street, it says, the street is pure gold. Street. Street. It does not say streets. It says only street. Street means there is only one way. There's not a multitude of ways. There are not side streets where all your little mansions can be. We're not going to have all little names of these, all these streets. There is one highway. There is only one way, and that is the way of holiness. And the way of holiness in the city of God is gold. And gold means it is the nature of God. So if you are going to walk in the ways of the new city, you are going to walk in the fullness of the holiness of the way of God. Amen. So, in spite of all this, in spite of the word that says this is a bride, this is the bride. Now the bride is not a natural square thing. This is Now listen to, listen, it says 12,000 furlongs. Let me show you why this cannot be a natural thing that is coming down to earth. Any of you have any idea how big furlongs are? Do you people count miles or kilometers here in Philippines? You count kilometers, so you don't know what miles are, right?
We know miles, but mostly
kilometers.
Yeah.
All right, let me tell you what this means. A furlong is 600 feet. Do you understand feet?
Yeah. Foot.
600 times 12,000. Is
7,200,000 feet.
That is 1,363.6 miles, or 2,194 kilometers. From here to where?
From Butuan City to Cagayan de Oro. That's the distance.
Where's Cagayan de Oro? Where is
Cagayan de Oro from Butuan City to the other side?
No, 2,000.
2,000 is from here to Manila.
From here to Manila.
Yeah, from here to Manila.
Manila.
Yes. 2,000. Sorry.
From here to Manila.
From here to Manila, yeah.
So, where are you going to put this thing? Where will this land? Oh, it's going to land in the Philippines.
Yeah, because if you will look at 2,194 kilometers, it is the size from Mindanao to Manila.
Okay, so we're going to set it on here.
Here in the Philippines.
Do you think an island would hold this thing?
No. No. Maybe.
No, it would crush the island. All right, the earth is round, right? How many kilometers all the way around? Nobody knows. Well, let's say it's going to land. It's going to land somewhere, and it's square, you know. But you see, this is straight, and when it lands on the earth, it's landing on a circle. So maybe we'll just put it in the sea somewhere. But then that'll drown all these gates. And if we really put it in the sea, it'll displace all the water, and all of the Philippines will now be flooded. There'll be no more Philippines. And then there was a preacher that said, well, it's going to be a satellite. And it's going to be in synchronous orbit over the earth. And it'll be orbiting here over the earth. It will orbit over Jerusalem. Well, then how are we going to get to it? We'll have to have a space shuttle. And we can fly to Jerusalem on a space shuttle. I'm just telling you, this is all ridiculous. This is all pure ridiculous. This is the height of carnal thinking. This is spiritual. This is the bride of Christ. This is spiritual words describing the fullness of the bride of Christ. So when people begin to come around to you and tell you these stories, you know that it is foolish. I heard a story, I don't know, 10 years ago from religious evangelical Pentecostal type of people. They said, oh, the NASA Hubble telescope has found something square. It's way, it's coming this way. Foolishness. Foolish talk. This is not going to be something you can find with a Hubble telescope. These are not natural pictures. You can never take your camera or your cell phone and photograph this thing. You will never see a beast coming up out of the sea with seven heads and 10 horns. It is all spiritual pictures. Well, God bless you, and now you have a better idea of heaven, right? And remember, heaven is coming down. It's coming where we live. I'm not going to fly away someday out there. Some glad morning. Yes, when I die, I'm going to leave this body. I'm going to leave this natural realm, and I'm going into a spiritual realm that is beyond and higher than the body of which I live now. God bless you.